Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the second Sunday of Easter, 2018.
Okay, I want to look at the gospel with you now, and let me just go back to what I mentioned to you at the start of the Mass tonight. Tonight, I believe that the Lord wants to give to each of us tonight the gift of peace that he poured out on his disciples when they were locked in the upper room out of fear. Earlier in the week, praying through the readings, the Lord really kind of made it clear, like, this is where I want you to go. And in part, it was kind of obvious, like, yes, Lord, I know we, all of us, live in a place of fear, worry, anxiety. As a society now, we are more anxious than we've ever been. And then on Friday night, we had a beautiful Easter healing service that I talked to you about on Easter Sunday. And you know, a lot of what we prayed for one another on Friday night was that same thing. So many of us are just so locked in fear, in worry, in anxiety, and not the kind of stuff that you can just kind of just gently push to the side. I'm talking about the kind of stuff that dramatically affects the way that you live your daily life. And so Friday night with the healing service that we had here, for me, it was very clear. The Lord was just confirming there, like, you need to pray, and you need to encourage the whole parish at Mass this weekend to, during Mass, that they would open their hearts and let me enter in and give to them the gift of peace that I alone can give, and let them know, remind them that I can get into places that they have locked down inside, that they've not let anybody else in. And as I did for the disciples in the upper room, doesn't matter how many deadbolts are on the door, I'm able to get in, and I want to get in, and I want to give. I want to deliver my peace to all of those who are in a place of fear, worry, and anxiety. And that's the heart of it. That's the main thing that I need to tell you, is that tonight, to pray for that, especially during our time when we receive the Lord tonight in Holy Communion, that's the main thing. Like, it's an overflow of what we were praying for on Friday evening at the healing service. In the first reading, it said that as the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of Christ, that proclamation was accompanied by great favor, signs and wonders the Lord poured out. He does that. And that's why we gather on Friday night to pray for healing. And that's why I'm telling you tonight, I know the Lord wants to give that peace to you tonight. Now, I want to single out one group in particular that just as the week was going on and I was praying for getting ready for the weekend, that just became even more clear, like super clear, like the Lord saying, and I also need you to let our high school teens especially, which probably cuts down to older middle school and also up to our young adults, the Lord in particular wants you to know that he knows what you are going through, especially because, we know, and there's just study after study keeps showing more and more how our teens, that group of you, out of all of us, are so afflicted just with the weight and the burden of anxiety and worry, fear. Remember last summer I shared with you an article that spoke about this epidemic of despair among our teens, cutting down into middle school, where it hit especially our girls 10 to 14. You might remember that article. I preached around it this past August. In October, the New York Times Magazine had this article entitled, "Why Are More American Teenagers Than Ever Suffering from Severe Anxiety?" The title says it all. Like, that's what every single study shows. But you guys know it because you're living it. And moms and dads, you know it because you see it in your kids, but you may not even know what to do around it. An offshoot of all of this is how all of that anxiety, which a certain level of it is normal, but how that certain base level of it gets amplified through social media. And so in December, Harvard published the results of a study that, this is kind of a classic kind of just study title here, Social Media and Teen Anxiety. Well, that sounds really interesting, but actually inside of it, the article, it really is. And I want to get to this in a second, but to you, our teens from middle school really up to our young adults, I think the Lord in particular, he wants you to know what's going on inside your heart, where you have very often just closed up the doors. You've locked your heart up out of fear. I mean, it's just exactly what happened in the gospel. And the Lord wants you to know tonight that he wants to come and bring you the gift of his peace, the gift of his mercy, and that, like, you don't have to be afraid to let him in. He wants to be in it with you, and he wants to give to you a gift of peace that we simply cannot find in the world, the gift of a mercy that you just can't find in the world. And I want you tonight to really be praying to receive that, to welcome him in, and to believe in faith tonight that he wants to come and be at work in you in the midst of all that junk that you've got going on in your life. Now, let me just really quickly pull out one little part of this Harvard study here. They asked our teens, what's the stuff with social media that makes you most anxious? Here's what they said. They said, these are the top things that trigger anxiety in our teens around social media. Seeing people posting about events to which you haven't been invited. That's a cause of anxiety. Now, nothing I'm going to read here is new. Like, it's all going to make perfect sense, but we'll open it up a tiny bit here. Another trigger with social media, feeling pressure to post positive and attractive content about yourself. Feeling pressure to get comments and likes on your posts. And then having someone post things about you that you cannot change or control. Like, that's a big one right there. Now, all of that's the primary stuff that social media generates in our teens. The secondary stuff goes deeper. So these are the secondary challenges that the teens made known in this study. Because of all of that primary stuff, this stuff now happens. Feeling replaceable. If you don't respond to a best friend's picture quickly or effusively enough, will she find a better friend? Too much communication. A boyfriend or girlfriend wants you to be texting far more often than you're comfortable with. But if you don't do it, will they drop you? Digital fear of missing out. If you're not up to date on the latest social media posts, will it prevent you from feeling like you can participate in real-life conversations at school the next day? And so do you stay up later and later to make sure you don't miss out on whatever anyone posts late into the evening? And then attachment to actual devices. If your phone is out of reach, will your privacy perhaps be compromised? Or will you miss a message from a friend when he needs you? So that's the kind of stuff going on. One of the researchers said, you know, all of us from the beginning of time have always struggled in these years with social standing, acceptance by peers. We've all been through that. But for you, our teens right now, what makes it far worse is this. As one researcher put it, you guys have real-time data on whether or not you are accepted by your peers. And the data may not actually be true. Like, in as much as a like or no one responding to a post, in as much as that may or may not be truthful, that's one issue. But you guys are, you have real-time data on whether or not you feel accepted. You know, I don't think I could not have endured that when I was your age. Like, that would be way too much pressure. And so This is one tiny sliver. Add on to, as a parent grabbed me after the 4:30 mass last night and said, "Father, one of my daughters is in one of our Howard County high schools, and they did an anonymous survey of, based on everything that happened in Parkland, what makes you most anxious when you come to school? At the top of the list was, what if something like what happened at Parkland happens here?" So, like, these are just two huge parts of a much bigger picture. And I don't have anything more to share in terms of, like, I don't have like a really nice little catchphrase to send you home with. What I do have is what the Lord gave me in praying this week, which is this. He knows what you are dealing with and what you're going through. He knows how you've often been out of fear, locked your heart and your life up. And he says, I want to come and I want to meet you in that. And I want to give you a peace that no one else can give. And I want you to be praying for that tonight. The gift of his peace is very, very much joined with the gift of his mercy. God's mercy is so beautiful because you know what it does? It sees us as fragile as we are, and God's mercy creates a space, a safe space for us to be able to grow up and to become everything that he wants us to be. His mercy creates a space where we have the freedom to be able to be true to who he made us to be and not fear that one mess up is going to ruin the whole thing. That's the beauty of God's mercy. At the end of last summer, a parishioner gave me a little fig tree, and I planted it between the parish office and the rectory, and it was really beautiful. And for about 2 weeks, it was kind of standing there in the sun, soaking it all in, until a deer came and ate every one of its beautiful green fig leaves. But I didn't give up. Now, I do not have a green thumb at all, but I put some of that real fine black mesh netting around it to guard it from the deer. As it ended the summer and we got into the fall, it was like this little Charlie Brown twig. It looked really sad, but I figured, you know what, I'm not going to give up on this thing. So through the winter, kind of looking at it, kind of figuring, hoping it's going to come back to life. A couple weeks ago, I pulled the black mesh netting away from it because it's spring, right? And then it snowed. The snowplow came up the driveway and dumped this giant pile of snow right over the fig tree. As it melted, this poor thing was even more tipped over than before. So I kind of tried to prop it back up, and it's sitting, I'm not going to give up on this thing. I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, in the Gospels, Jesus says, you are the fig tree, and I know that you need a lot of care. And Jesus says, I'm the gardener, and even though others want to come and cut the fig tree down, I'm the one who says, let me give it a little bit more time and create a space around it in which it's able to grow. That's what God's mercy does. That's the beauty of his mercy that's wed to the gift of his peace. He wants every one of us to have that. But tonight in particular, I think he just really wants you, our teens, to know, look, I've got a gift for you that you're not going to find out in the world, a gift of mercy and peace that wants you to be able to just simply grow into the man or the woman that I've made you to be. And tonight, he wants you to be praying with real faith, especially as we feed on his body and blood, that gift of peace is offered to you and for each of you, all of us, to welcome it into our hearts tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.